something else for us. Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40, getting ready to study Isaiah in Sunday school, starting, Lord willing, next week. And Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 11. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 11. A good verse of Scripture tells us something else the shepherd does. It says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs," notice this, "with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." In other words, what's something else that the shepherd does for us? He provides, but the shepherd also is, if you will, tender or caring. He's tender or caring. I'm glad to know tonight that we have a shepherd that cares for us. Amen. A shepherd that is tender toward us. Amen. There's sometimes we need a little more sternness, and he does that too. And a shepherd does that. There's sometimes the sheep get out of line. That's what that crook's for. Amen. On the end of that rod, that staff they have, is right to take and put around their neck and to pull them the right direction. I'll never forget one time. I'll share with you a funny thing. We had at church growing up, every year we did a ministry called Drummer Boy. We would give out food. We would give out toys and things, and it would become a huge deal. I mean, just, I don't know how many people come through. Through all that, every year we did a Christmas play. And it wasn't like a lot of plays, but it was just basically following through and quoting the Scripture, doing exactly what the Bible says. And doing that, one year, of course, we had the young people would always be the characters or whatever, and had the wise men. We had the shepherds, you know, Mary, Joseph, baby, all that. One year they got crazy enough and even brought in live animals down the church. And you don't bring in live animals and carpet, because live animals do what live animals do, and they did it that year and they never did it again. So anyway, some of the goats from next door came in, by the way. But I'll leave that alone, and they did what goats do. But all that aside, one year, one of the guys with his shepherd's crook decided he was going to do something that he thought was pretty funny, but it wasn't. He took the end of that thing and put it around my neck. And I'll never forget it. He put that thing around my neck, Brother Tom. Just playing, joking, you know. He put that thing around my neck, and it was a wooden one, you know, real wooden. And he took that thing, put it around my neck, and tried to, kind of pull me, you know, around or whatever, toward him a little bit. I wasn't so happy about it. Well, then when he did that, guess what happened? He couldn't get the thing off hardly. And when he went to take the thing off, because it was so tight, he skinned up my neck right here when he tried to take it off, and that hurt like the dickens. And I was not too happy about that. But so sometimes the shepherd can be, you know, when he needs to be, he cannot be so tender, if you will. But I'm glad to know that the shepherd is tender to us. Amen. He is caring to us. Amen. And I'm glad to know that he takes here, as the Bible says, he feeds his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs, the Bible says, with his arms. Those little ones, amen, he takes and carries them in his arms. Amen. He takes and carries them up in their arms. It says, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Amen. I'm glad to know that we serve a tender and a caring shepherd. Amen. Yeah, I thought about when I seen this verse, and when I thought about the shepherd being tender and caring, and how he carries us and helps us, and how the shepherd often carries his sheep in different situations, it reminded me of that poem, "The Footprints in the Sand." Amen. Of how we look back, we saw two footprints, and then there was only one, and how the Lord takes and carries us. Amen. I'm glad to know that's what the shepherd does for us. He carries us. As 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7 says, he cares for you. Amen. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I'm glad that he cares for us. Amen. He's a shepherd that is tender, that's loving, and that cares for me, and that cares for you, if you will. And when I sing this verse, you know, if you ever feel like, and we all are there, you feel like at times, Lord, I can't go on. I need you to take and carry me today. I need you to help me, Lord. Give me the strength that I need, as that verse was talking about. You know, there's a song that is a newer song, but it's a good song. The title of it is called "He Will Carry You." And if you ever need some encouragement and feel like, Lord, I need you to help me, to carry me today, to strengthen me, "He Will Carry You" is the name of the song. And I think about that song. I listened to it even this morning. And I thought, you know, the song says, "He'll carry you when you can't go on. When you want to quit and strength ain't enough, He'll carry you. And I tell you, I'm glad to know there's been times in my life where He's carried me. Amen. There's times where I've wanted to quit and I felt like I couldn't go on, and He's carried me. And I'm thankful to know that we have a loving, tender, caring Father that will carry us, amen, through the storms and the trials and the hard times and the things in life that come, that we have a shepherd that is tender and that is caring and that will help us. John chapter number 10, we'll see the third thing. John chapter number 10, He provides, He's tender, He's caring, if you will. But also, John chapter 10 and verse number 11 tells us another thing, if you will. And there's lots of verses here about the shepherd and the sheep. Well, of course, the shepherd knows the sheep's name. There's lots of things we could say there about that. But and they know His voice and they hear His voice and all those things. But notice just one of these things, verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The shepherd, good shepherd giveth his life for the what? Sheep." Another thing that a shepherd would be willing to do is sacrifice. Amen. A good shepherd is one that is sacrificial. Amen. He is sacrificial. He is willing to take and to lay down and to offer his life for those sheep. That's what David did he not? When the bear, the lion, all those things came, the wolf, guess what? He was willing to lay down his life to endanger himself and cause, even put himself in harm's way, we would say, for the sake of those sheep. Why? Because he cared for those sheep. He loved those sheep, if you will. And he was willing to sacrifice his own life, if need be, for those sheep. The same thing's true with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think about Romans. We could turn there to chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. And part of those verses in there talks about, "But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. I'm glad to know that even before we were His sheep, guess what? He loved us. He looked at me, an old stubborn goat, and He said, "You know what?" He said, "I love Him." He died. He gave His life for me, sacrificed for me. Amen. And I become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm glad today to know that now I'm in His fold. Amen. If you will. And I'm glad that He was willing to sacrifice Himself for us because of His great love, because of He so loved the world, as John 3:16 talks about. So a good shepherd would be one that's willing to sacrifice. Amen. Sacrifice. I think about, and I know I'm preaching to myself when I say this, but I can't help but mention this, if you will, for just a second. But you know, the Bible talks about the pastor is to be the under-shepherd, to follow the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many today, they don't want to sacrifice for people anymore. You say, "What in the world do you mean?" It bothers me. I've told y'all this before, and it's the attitude that a lot of preachers have nowadays. Lord, help me not to get there. But the attitude that, hey, I'm going for something bigger. I'm not going to sacrifice and stay and be where God wants me to be because I want to be where I want to be, doing what I want to do. That's not what it should be about. Amen. It's about being the shepherd where God wants you to be with the sheep God gives to you and taking care of them. Amen. I'm simply saying today, not a hireling, as he talked about here in John chapter number 11. There's many today that's like a hireling. I've had preachers look at me before and they've told me, "Hey, you know what? I'm just here right now until I can find something bigger and better." Shame on you. Shame on you. There's something wrong with that. Now, if the Lord leads you somewhere else, that's a whole nother ball game. Amen. But to have the attitude that I'm here until the Lord gives me something better or leads me something better, that's not being content with what God's given. That's saying I'm just going to settle. That's the difference between the two. Amen. Between settling and being content and saying, "No, I'm going to be right here because this is where God wants me." You think about simply, this morning, the Lord is a sacrificial shepherd. He's willing to sacrifice, to do what's necessary, to be where God wants him to be, to do, even if the situations a lot of times ain't the way he wants it to be. Amen. God, he's going to be there and sacrifice because of his love. Thank the Lord that the Lord sacrifices for us as a good shepherd. But notice with me another thing, 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 25. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 25, we see the fourth thing about the shepherd. He provides, he's tender, he's caring, he's sacrificial, he's, if you will. But now we see the fourth thing in 1 Peter 2, 25. Notice closely, it says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I believe the fourth thing that our shepherd is to us is he welcomes the wandering sheep. He welcomes the wandering sheep. And may I put it this way even, he goes after the wandering sheep. He seeks the wandering sheep. I think about that song that some of you may be familiar with years ago. It talks about how the shepherd took, and it's based off Scripture where the shepherd took and lost that one sheep. But he had 99 still in the fold. Amen. What did that shepherd do? He went out to find that sheep. And the song says, one little lost sheep, that's who I am. Amen. And I'm glad to know that when we prone to wander, when we do get away from the Lord, we do get out like we should not be, I'm glad that the Lord takes and He welcomes us home, just like the prodigal son that was mentioned this morning in Sunday school. I thought about, you know, sheep, they're prone to wander. Amen. Just like those sheep that I mentioned to you in my example of experience with sheep. They're prone to wander. It reminded me of the words of the hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. That's the way we are as sheep a lot of times. We're prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God that we do love. Lord, we need the Lord to help us, amen, to draw us back to Him. And oftentimes He does, amen. We get away from Him, we get backslidden. It's probably happened to every one of us in the room if you've been saved any length of time. It shouldn't, but it does. We get not where we ought to be with the Lord. The Lord takes, and sometimes He'll bring you back, bring something in our life, a tragedy, a hard time, to draw us back to Him. Sometimes He'll take, and we'll just hear a sermon or a song or something like that, and the Lord will take, and we'll realize, hey, you know what? I need to get close to the Lord again. I'm not where I ought to be. And you think about, that's the Lord, that's that shepherd welcoming the wandering sheep and going after him. I'm glad today that shepherd's willing to search until he can find that lost sheep and welcome him back home with open arms and carry him. What love the Lord has for us. What love the Father has, the shepherd has for the sheep. But look with me at one more thing and we'll be done. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 1. We'll read a couple of verses here. The elders which are among you I exhort. Here specifically talking to the pastors. He says, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, I mentioned that kind of a while ago, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive, notice this, a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Why do I read this morning? Because the last point, some may say this only applies to you, Pastor, what you're getting ready to say, but if you hang on a minute, I think it applies to all of us. I believe the way the shepherd deals, the last thing the shepherd deals with his sheep is the shepherd crowns the faithful. The shepherd crowns the faithful. In other words, one day, we as his sheep, guess what we're going to get? We're going to get a reward. Amen. We're going to get a reward for serving him faithfully. The Lord told here, he said, hey, for those pastors, he said, you're to take to be an example to the flock. You know what? I'm an under shepherd, but you know what I also am? I'm a sheep too. Amen. I'm a sheep too. I thought about, you know, the fact here he says, hey, those that are faithful, that serve the Lord, that are the elder, he said, you know what? You're going to receive a crown of glory one day. Some have taken and put this term on it, the pastor's crown is what this is talking about. That one day the pastors that serve the Lord faithfully, that do what God's called them to do, like these verses say, guess what? They're going to receive a crown when they get to heaven. Because they've been faithful in service to Him. But you know what? This isn't the only crown there is to be had in heaven, is there? That's why I say that what this point applies more to just than to the pastor. Because you know what? There's another crown called a soul winner's crown. And guess what? Can you win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah. Should you? Yeah. And you know what? You can take and one day receive that crown for being a faithful soul winner of the Lord Jesus Christ. For faithfully telling people the gospel and some of the other things that I can mention and talk about this morning. I'm glad to know that our shepherd is one that takes and that rewards, if you will, amen, his sheep. I'm glad to know that one day that reward, though, when we get it, what will we do with it? Just cast it back at his feet. You say, why? Because we're sheep. And you know what? We could have never had a crown without who? The shepherd. Couldn't have never had the crown without him, Brother Gary. I mean, it's amazing to me. You say, and I want you to picture this in your mind, and I'm going to try to describe this the way the Lord gave it to me in my head, so I hope you can get in my head for a minute, as hard as that probably is. Have you ever seen a sheep running around with a crown on his head before? I haven't. Maybe we can Google it and find a picture where one's running around with a crown on their head, probably. But sheep don't run around with crowns on their heads, do they? They don't do that. But yet, we are his sheep, and we can one day earn a crown. And we're not going to run around all over heaven with the shepherd one day and have that crown on our head. Sheep don't run around with crowns on their heads, because they may have done what the shepherd asked them to do. They may have partaken in doing what he wanted them to do, and where he led them, they followed. Where God led them along. But you know what? Sheep don't run around with crowns on their heads. You know what sheep does? Who's the one that really deserves the crown? The sheep? No, the shepherd. Why? Because they're just dumb old sheep. And if the shepherd would have never took them to the places they went to, they would have never done nothing. They would never have survived without him. And you think about today, though, some people want to run around, if you will, saying, look at what I did, look at what I done, and look at this. That's like a sheep running around with a crown on their head. You see that, you'd say, what is wrong? There's something wrong with that sheep. They have their reward, as the Bible says. But I'm glad one day when we get to heaven, the Lord's going to give us a crown, and we are ought to take, and we will take, and look back at him and say, Lord, I'm just a sheep. I don't deserve this. It's because of you that led me, that saved me, that's placed me in a part of your fold and family, that I was able to do whatever it is that I did for you. I'm just a sheep, Lord. Thank you for letting me be a sheep for you. You think about today, there's a crown for the faithful. I had here in my notes, will the Lord help us and help me to be faithful to him in all areas of life that he's called us to? No matter the results. No matter if the results are visible or not. I believe that I could be wrong when I say this, but I don't think so. I believe there's a lot of results out there for the things that we've done for God that we don't even realize. I think a lot of times we think and we feel like things that we do are in vain for the Lord. But I don't believe they are. You say, why? We may not see them, so we feel like they're vain, right? We don't see the effect. We don't see the results. Or maybe we do something for the Lord and we see something negative, like we try to witness to somebody and they slam a door in our face. And we say, that's a negative result. That's not what I expected to have happen. But you know what? God sees that. Amen. And the result may not be there in front of our face, but the result might come one day. Amen. You never know what may happen down the road. I'm simply saying this morning that a lot of times we judge, if you will, things by results. But you know what? That isn't the way God judges. God, I don't believe, judges by results. He judges by faithfulness. I believe that with all my heart. He judges by faithfulness and obedience to him. I think about Saul. We talked about this a few weeks ago. As he did the sacrifice and shouldn't have, what was he told? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than those fatter rams. In other words, to listen and obey is better than that. And a lot of times we get hung up on, well, I'm not seeing the results I want to. Well, I'm not seeing this or that or the other take place. Realize, if you're following the shepherd, being there faithful, right where he wants you to be and he's leading you to be, then guess what? You're all right. Amen? You're doing good. Just stay in the fold with the shepherd, amen, and with the sheep where he's leading you to. No matter if the results are visible or not. Sometimes, often serving the Lord as his sheep can be discouraging. Sometimes it can, but remember, it's about faithfulness and obedience to the Lord. The results are in his hands, amen. I remind myself of this often. He gives the increase, not us, amen. He gives the increase, not us. I think about it's the same way when you plant a garden. You need to go out, you got to sow the seed, right? Till up the ground, dig out the weeds, do all the stuff that you got to do, water it sometimes, all those types of things, fertilize, all the stuff you can do, the best made plans in the world. But you know what? If I ever have a garden, Lynn ever has a garden, Maria and Tom ever has a garden, and we ever get anything out of it, you know who's to give the glory for that we got something out of that garden? It's God. Because you can go out and water that thing every day, fertilize it to death, get the best seeds, best plants in the world, tender that thing. As soon as you see a weed come up this much, get it out the ground. You know what? Without God's blessing on that, it ain't going to do nothing. It takes God. God's the one that gives the increase. He's the one that gives the results. Amen? And may the Lord help us and help me and help you to remember. Always remember that. The results are in His hands. He gives the increase, not us. He's the shepherd. We simply, as His sheep, are to follow Him. As the old song says, take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I looked up and I thought it was interesting, the hymn, that hymn, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go, the story behind it. There was a man named Reverend R.S. Jones. In 1936, he had recently returned from missionary service in Brazil and was a speaker at an Alabama Sunday school convention. There he met an old friend, Bayless Benjamin McKinney. He was a musician and a hymn writer who was leading the music at this convention. As the two men visited and called up over dinner, Mr. Jones revealed that his doctors would not allow him to return to Brazil any longer due to his recent ill health. After a lifetime of serving God in Brazil, imagine how difficult this must have been for the missionary. What will you do? His friend Mr. McKinney asked. Jones answered, I don't know. I just don't know. But wherever He leads, I'll go. McKinney wasn't able to get his friend's words out of his mind. Before the convention session that evening, he had expanded his friend's words to write both the lyrics and melody to the hymn, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. After Mr. McKinney shared the previous conversation with the congregation, he then sung this newly written hymn as he began with the words, Take up thy cross and follow me, I heard my master say. Reverend Jones retired from a life of service in 1958 after serving as treasurer to the Foreign Mission Board for the last decade of his life. Mr. McKinney, who wrote the song, also lived out a life that followed the words of this famous hymn he wrote. When the Great Depression sent his seminary into financial crisis, Mr. McKinney became the assistant pastor at Travis Avenue Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. In 1952, he had just left a conference in North Carolina and was headed for another engagement in Tennessee. But on the way home, he was killed in a car accident. He left behind a legacy that included 149 hymns and gospel songs. May the Lord help us to follow our great shepherd, our good shepherd, and our chief shepherd. Let's pray.